Blog Talk Radio.
The world.
Well, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. Welcome you again to the show. This is Ed Emya of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, so very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity. Yes, for the opportunity to be back with you here again and speak these very precious words. These very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me directly that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. Some very important things that for Him I must do. And He told me that because of what I must do for Him, He said I would have always in doing for Him that which He has required, His protection and guidance. And for this, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. But my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that as a people, we're promised a day of remembrance. Acts 3:18 through 23 says the Messiah must come for the restitution. How about the remembrance? And restoration of all things, according to all the Most High has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures relate that when Messiah appears to reveal all these things, hey, all this is our obligation to remember. It is written that whoever will not hearken to that prophet should be cut off from among the people. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah comes to declare the fullness of these truths, when Messiah appears to declare the remembrance of all these truths, I want you to think about it. Shall it be that men refuse to remember these things, refuse to believe, refuse to accept the gift of faith, refuse to accept what is necessary to see beyond the contradictions and debates and doubts, the misrepresentations of men? Shall men continue in their unbelief, refusing to believe the absolute, choosing to trust in a multitude of misrepresentation to keep the people in darkness? So men, my brothers and sisters, refuse the light and still be called the children of light? Think about it. In the book of Luke, in the 6th chapter, Matthew, Matthiah, 5th and 7th chapter really are converged together. Messiah said, watch out for false prophets, for they cry out, Lord, Lord, but not to bring forth the full will of the Father. If you look at the scripture, what does he call a false prophet? He calls them people, my brothers and sisters, who, though they crowd as if they were representatives of the Most High, they do not seek to perform fully or to teach or bring people to the remembrance of all the Most High decreed. It tells us a lot about the society we live in. Many have not realized the need to remember all things as the Spirit gives utterance. We see 45,000 denominations, 280 nations, hey, all about defending their opinions, their debate, the doubts they cast in the mind of the people. Men compelled to believe in partializations among men. Hey, the institutions say there's no need to remember these things, to be a people true unto the Most High, true to the gospel, true to the word that goes forth, that must go forth to all the nations, beyond all international contentions. Men look at institutions that feel that there's certain truths that are not necessary to be remembered. And they sit back and obligate themselves to institutions that stand against the true light. They obligate themselves and feel obligation to institutions that tell you must preserve all the various corruptions of man. It's time we understand the reality, my brothers and sisters. Truly it is. I said truly it's time we understand the reality. Messiah said, watch out for false prophets. You ever stop to consider what it means? It means you are to be careful not to fall victim. Careful not to fall victim to those who keep a world confused. Think about it. He said your righteousness ultimately must exceed all those who are contentious. All those who are contentious against discerning then the fullness of what is the law and the prophets. What is the rule of this world? Like I said, they obligate you to preserve all the contentious contradictive, confusing differences that leave men incapable of discerning the reality, incapable and oftentimes, hey, rebellious against a greater truth. Think about it. Every lie a man believes, every half-truth, every haughty false conclusion is an obstacle against men discerning the greater truth. It must be, must be restored, my brothers and sisters, if we are to exceed the confusion that is this present-day Babylon. Scripture talks about Messiah saying to those who thought that they'd done righteously in his name. Oh, we've been talking about that a lot lately. Thought they had done righteously in his name. In his name, cast out devils or illusions. What is obstacles against discerning the light? Didn't say in his name have they not preached, prophesied, spoken after the higher vision of the Most High. Say many of my brothers and sisters will say, have we not in thy name done many wonderful and inspired works? Well, my brothers and sisters, Messiah will say to them, keep away from me, get away from me, for your works, your doctrines, your teachings are still iniquity, still injustice, still uncleanness. You didn't get this from me. There's a reason why he said your righteousness must exceed all the contentiousness of all your varied rulers who in some way seek to compel you to believe that he in some way what? Abolished the law and the prophets? Scripture says Messiah comes for the express purpose to bring to remembrance, restitution, restoration, all things spoken by the prophets, all things the Most High spoken through the mouth of his prophets by his Spirit since this world began. We have to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. For I would call your attention to such scriptures as Deuteronomy. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, quite frankly, the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which he has revealed, they are an obligation for our people. We are to be the children of light, not resistant, my brothers and sisters, against the light. Not that we should stand with the children of darkness who seek to hide these truths. He says we have an obligation, my brothers and sisters, unto the remembrance of all these things. An obligation for us and to our children forever. If we find that there is something the Most High has required of us that we have not done, shall we remain arrogant to forget? That's Gentile, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways. The nations have, since the dawn of human fall, sought to hide, deny, pervert, and silence the remembrance of what the Most High declared from the beginning, that men might remain, my brothers and sisters, in bondage to those who would hide the initial and eternal light. Shall we be complicit with those who would unjustly suppress the truth? Think about it. Scripture says, the wrath of Yah is upon those who unjustly suppress the truth. Ephesians talks about, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it says, the wrath of Yah is upon the children of disobedience. How about those who will not hear? How about those who will not see? How about those who stand as obstacles against discerning the word, even the word of light and life that is from the beginning, that declares the order of all things? Shall we be complicit with those, my brothers and sisters, who would hide the truth? Think about it. Messiah said plainly, if I do not go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come. Why did he go? He said he'd make an atonement for those who believe, who know that they must see beyond the rulers. Faith is a gift from Yah. The capacity to see beyond the multitude of worldly contentions is a gift from Yah. The book of Galatians talks about how the priests have not been true to the will of one. He says the Messiah came and exposed them in that they had sought to what? Crucify? The Savior? All my brothers and sisters, we're talking about a rulership across this world. The priesthood in ancient Israel, we understand, was a satellite. Israel as a town was a satellite to Rome. And Rome had slaughtered all the priests of Israel some few decades before the birth of Messiah and set up a priesthood catering to the divisive ideas of the Gentiles. So let us understand what is happening here. If we remain blinded by the multitude of institutions that we see, believing we have an obligation to preserve corruptions. What about this obligation unto holiness? Have we sought truly what is the holy covenant, or have we taken the name of the Most High in vain? In other words, called upon his name unto a multitude of countermanding ideas that by no means, my brothers and sisters, can result in solution peace. Think about it. Deuteronomy says the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which he has revealed are an obligation that we preserve these things, remember these things throughout all generations. What is forgetfulness but an inconjunct mind, a reprobate mind that will not give consideration in being disciplined under the consideration of all things the Most High declared? That's what the Most High told me was not wisdom. He said the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving consideration to all that he has declared, he told me that is not wisdom at all. Think about it. Until the golden thread that must be remembered, all things the Most High declared are remembered, my brothers and sisters. The golden thread. The truth that the whole world has ignored. The truth that all nations have gathered against, as it says in Psalms 2. Until that truth is restored, my brothers and sisters, there's no escape from this Babylon. I've talked oftentimes about what the scriptures call the gospel of Shiloh, him unto whom all must gather. Him who exposed all the wickedness. How about the iniquity, the inequity, the unrighteousness of those who would hide the truth? Think about it. When the scripture says none righteous, no, not one, what it's talking about, my brothers and sisters, the fact that until that which is necessary to make all peoples whole is remembered, there is none righteous, no, not one. Abraham knew to look forward to the perfect will of the Most High being what blesses mankind. Whoever stands against that pure, perfect completion, my brothers and sisters, is an obstacle against the Holy Covenant. It's an obstacle against the righteousness of Yah. Think about it. Messiah comes to declare the remembrance of all these things and declare the standard that is the remembrance of all these things. In Isaiah 8, chapter 16, verse, it says, bind the testimony, seal all the law, and say, whoever will not speak according or reckon according to this word, there's no light in them. That means they're the children of darkness. They're complicit with those who would hide the truth in order to preserve institutionalized bondage, my brothers and sisters. It is time we understand the reality. For till all is remembered and restored obediently to the minds of our people. In fact, my brothers and sisters, till that remembrance is again a conscience in the earth, there is none righteous, no, not one. Meaning, since the Most High said none righteous, no, not one, it means there's the truth that must be brought to remembrance on the part of all. No one, my brothers and sisters, will be in perfect agreement with the coming of the Messiah till he has accepted all these things. Ancient Israel had rites of passage, times when the people were brought to a place that they had to come to confirmation to show that they were viable as citizens in the community. What makes men today, after a multitude of differences, believe that without those rites of passage, that to verify a soul truly a believer? What makes people think that without these things, my brothers and sisters, they're counted faithful? Is it faith, my brothers and sisters, we maintain a multitude of debates and contentions? Absolutely not. All Israel is obligated to remember the promise of the one called Shiloh. Remember the promise that Messiah will bring all things to remembrance after the Spirit that teaches all things. No lie in it. After the Spirit that brings all things to remembrance, sets all things in order. Either we do this or all are found yet of a reprobate, inconjunct mind. That is the nature of forgetfulness. There's a reason why the scriptures in Isaiah 44 in Aramaic, it says it speaks to his people when he wants to blot out their sins. The Most High, when he wants to blot out their sins, their allegiances to a multitude of partialized standards. It says what? From henceforth, O Israel, forget me not. Oh, I know what they put in your King James Version, but I'm telling you what's in Aramaic. Lamsabible. Look at Isaiah 44, 20 through 45 and 6 and understand. Who it speaks of is the remember who established Israel upon a firm foundation. The shepherd, my brothers and sisters, if he's called the shepherd, he's to call him unto whom all the sheep must gather. Consider, my brothers and sisters, the one who declares from the rising sun to the west, one most high, that all see the same light and recognize there is no other. That must be the Savior. The scriptures talk in Romans 11:25-27, what is written in Isaiah 59, about how the most high looked and saw no intercessor. None to help, none to fully heal. Someone puts upon himself the whole armor, the whole truth of the most high. He renders recompense to all who are adversaries against that light. Scripture says the deliverer will come to Zion to those who turn from transgression, who will turn away from these multitude of differences, false, partial allegiances in Yaakov. Romans 11:25-27 says the same. It says, so shall they reveal the name of the Most High from the rising sun to the west, or from the west to the rising sun. Compare it, Isaiah 45:6 to Isaiah 59:19-21, and realize who must be that Savior. Who must be that rememberer. It's time, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says that rememberer will be one who would expose all the wickedness, all the fallen standards of the nations. In Isaiah 11, it's the one who comes a second time to gather Israel. Scripture says he will sit upon the throne of David. Says he will sit as king and priest. In Zechariah 3:8, in Zechariah 6:12, the word for branch, the word for sunrise, morning star are the same. Why didn't they tell you that? You want to know more about it? Please check out my website, hiddengospel.com, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. These things must be understood. And my brothers and sisters, the men choose to debate, and Jews always choosing to exclude the greater truths that should have always been known, the greater truths that all nations have gathered against and schemed against. If men oppose those who would keep men in darkness, my brothers and sisters, they are still yet in bondage as the children of darkness. I said again, the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 59, talk about one, the one who comes, that men may revere the Most High from the rising sun to the west, or from the west to the rising of the sun. Think about it, from east to west across the globe. The scripture says that is the Savior, my brothers and sisters, who ultimately declares that his covenant shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants, and henceforth even forever. That is the end of the age of the Gentiles, the end of the age of those who refuse to reason as one with the Most High. What have I told you before about that very word Gentile? The very word Gentile means unreasoning beast. Well, those who refuse to reason as one as man was created that he must do. Man was not created without a spiritual component. Man fell away from that higher essence when he chose not to have faith in the will of Yah. Think about it. The multitude of different divisive institutions we see in this world, are there to act as an obstacle against men discerning the truth and light when it is before their eyes. They trust only what they see. Brothers and sisters, men are blinded. The nature of forgetfulness, again, is an inconjunct mind. The very concept of mindfulness means you consider all things that are wise, not cast them aside to employ personal or exploit others after a personal insanity. Hey, clinical definition of insanity, what is it? Unwillingness to recognize. I said unwillingness, my brothers and sisters, to recognize reality. It's time we understand. It's time, my brothers and sisters, we understand all these things. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, says Messiah is going to expose all this pretense of man, the intrusions of the nations, making people double-minded. They're incapable of receiving the truth of the Most High. Think about it, what it said in Yaakov 1:1-8. It says, if we miss the multitude of provocations among the nations, we must realize our perseverance in the Holy Name must bring about a perfect, one complete, pure, perfect work. All arriving to the same standard. If we seek double-minded misrepresentation, it says we receive no favor, nothing from the Most High. It means, my brothers and sisters, we won't be able to receive what is necessary to make us whole. You can't maintain what constantly backslides and causes men to cut against the truth and attain to the fullness of truth. It's time we understand. It says Messiah will expose these mysteries of iniquity, all these systems of unrighteousness that hold men in bondage. Question, my brothers and sisters, who, when he appears, is prepared to understand? Scripture says his words like line upon line, precept upon precept, to the measuring line into the plummet. Think about it. He says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report who don't have these precepts? Messiah must come to restore foundation then. But the system of the world didn't teach you this. They taught you that they, in their multitude of contentions, all seeking to preserve their own competitive, self-exalting arrogance. They tell you that they will prepare you for Messiah. Think about it. The scripture said, be watchful. Seek what others will not see. When he calls forth watchmen, he calls them to see after the higher mind of the Most High. When he called Ezekiel to be a watchman, he didn't tell him that everybody would see what he sees, but he told him to declare reproof. He said, be watchful that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. He didn't say, my brothers and sisters, to look to the rulers, to discern how to understand or perceive him who reproves all the rulers. That's one of the biggest secrets in the Bible, that Messiah comes to reprove all these differences because all of them are obstacles against the greater light that he would reveal. It's time we understand. I've talked oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, the faith was not called Christianity, but it was called Kurdishanya for a reason. Kur, son, Tish, rise, Shah, king. The king of the east, Messiah said he is that king in Revelation 16, 12 to 21. They put kings in your Bible to throw you off. The one who drives up all the rivers, who drives up all the constraints of the nations, who delivers the people to see beyond all the obstacles in the wilderness. What are those obstacles? All your rulers. That he must prove foolish. That men see straightway beyond all the crooked paths. That they discern the precious truths, my brothers and sisters, that the rulers sought to hide away in the darkness. Compare Isaiah 44:20 to Isaiah. Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 through 46:13. Compare those scriptures to 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 11. It says we all must speak the same thing of one mind beyond all divisions. See, if we call ourselves wise after this world, after the reprobate nature of this world, they refuse to be disciplined after the perfect will of one. If we consider ourselves wise after this world, say, let us consider ourselves fools, deceived, unable to perceive, that we may become wise, that we may be able to see. The apostle Shaul said, I know nothing in which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. He said, for my judge is still, ultimately coming a Messiah, who reveals the hidden things. How about who calls to attention those things that men have not considered, who reveals those precious hidden treasures that this world has sought to keep in the darkness, the higher truths, my brothers and sisters, of the Most High, that this world has schemed against. You say, when men see those truths necessary to make a man and make his conscience worthwhile, then shall every man ought to praise Yah, because until men see beyond those who seek to hide the truth and keep it in the darkness, men are in bondage to darkness. All that is required for a man to fall short and remain in bondage is to not discern the light and purpose, the declaration of truth that was declared from the very beginning. It's time we understand what is our obligation. Deuteronomy 29 through 30 talks about a time of remembrance when all these things will be brought to our remembrance. I will say to you, whoever would seek to hide the truth and to stand against the remembrance of all those things that so long have been forgotten have no inheritance. In Israel, Messiah will bring all these things to remembrance. Think about what I mean. If when Messiah comes to declare all these things in remembrance, whoever was to stand against that remembrance, there's a reason why he said, keep away from me. I never knew you. In other words, your orientation was not for me. Keep away from me, you whose works are iniquity, inequity, uncleanness, injustice, partiality, perversion, unrighteousness. You didn't get those precepts, he said, from him. In fact, anyone who would desire that the standard of the salvation be something less than what appeases Yah, my brothers and sisters, is also devilish. All the institutions of man would keep you blind and not to discern the greater truth, they're all devilish. Your seminary schools that people go to be taught by, do they teach the discipline of the Most High? Absolutely not. They give you a piece of paper and tell folks that they can preside over a congregation where the people are predisposed to believe what they will or what they're willing to pay for, to be fatally flattered. My brothers and sisters, the institutions people go to learn from are not about an absolution and restoration of a covenant, but remembrance of all things. What are these institutions but damningly devilish? It's time we understand. Till we are all of the same faith, my brothers and sisters, the same expectation beyond all the worldly reprobate divisions, the senseless divisions and divisiveness of this earth. Until we succeed all these inconcerted thoughts, my brothers and sisters, man has not attained the victory till he has attained the truth the world has sought to hide in this irreverent age. The golden thread, the foundation that has declared human purpose and believing, my brothers and sisters, the Most High who made man defines what is man. Everything else is brutish, beastly. Scripture says, the thoughts of the Most High are buried deep, but the brutish man, the beastly man, will not discern this. There are those, my brothers and sisters, who believe because they only see at surface level. That's all there is to be seen. To know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. I can only tell you there's many times in Scripture that Scripture appears to say something on the surface. Because men have not understood why it was said, how it is applied, men have said that call men, other men transgressors. When the truth of the matter, if none discern the reason why these verses are said, every single one who declares short of that fundamental expectation and purpose, every single one of them is unrighteousness. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Scripture talks about honor your father and mother. Please understand what the scriptures mean in Isaiah 50 when it says, remember Sarah, your mother who conceived you, Abraham, your father, and Sarah who conceived you. Remember the hearts of the fathers, the scriptures say in Malachi 4, before comes the day of peace that must come upon our people. The peace that must come for our people, my brothers and sisters, the great day of the Most High. But beloved, before there comes that peace, the scripture talks about preparing ourselves that we might be confirmed in the remembrance of all things, that we might be preserved in the midst of the great tribulation that is still yet to come. When I say great tribulation at that time, I'm talking about the great tribulation that the scriptures talk about is upon, will be upon all nations. Scriptures first talk in Luke about a great distress, a great tribulation upon Israel for seeking to hold on to a covenant. In fact, the scriptures talk about that covenant being silenced from the minds and hearts of men in Revelation 6. Please check out that article on my website, HiddenGospel.com, article called Tribulation 70-365 AD. Talks about those who remember that covenant would be slain. That was told in advance. The scripture says in the last days the remembrance will come and it will be a great shaking upon of all the faulty foundations of this earth. In fact, the scripture says he will shake with his word everything that is not stable. He will shake everything, brothers and sisters, till only that which is, cannot be shaken remains. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The hearts must become unshakable in their reasoning and realization of the truth, because only upon that which is firm shall the Most High establish the kingdom. Remember the heart of the ancient Hebrew fathers, all that has been forgotten among the nations. Remember all those things. We must remember all those things the world has schemed against, where there can be peace among our people. Whoever does not have this heart, no inheritance in Israel. Israel is commanded to remember. By no means. Shall we do otherwise and be expected to be called wise? The book of Ephesians says, we must comprehend with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth. Many call themselves prophets and apostles. My brothers and sisters, according to the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, it relates that the apostles and prophets are called for the perfection of the saints, even to the full measure and stature of Christ. Whoever, my brothers and sisters, does not seek this fullness, has lied to you. If they taught you anything other than this word, or they did not tell you these words, if they taught you another scenario, they have lied. It is time, my brothers and sisters, to realize not only they lied, but they robbed and murdered and made you complicit with robbers, murderers, and thieves. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to wake up beyond this. There's an irrevocable plan the Most High declared that the High Messiah shall appear, what he appears for. Hey, I call that the secret city prophecies. Hey, I call it the gospel of Shiloh. Who is Shiloh? Who did Messiah say that he is when he says he's the good and offspring of David and the bright morning star? Early church origin, mutual expectation, secret city prophecies, hiddengospel.com. I promise you need these all. Because the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, without these truths, no man is made whole. Every man's thoughts are inconjunct, and men have not attained yet what is necessary to be able to reason together. National titles, in fact, political titles, religious titles, contentious one against another. How shall men say they have been perfectly true under the eye? Like I said, how shall one know how not to offend one whom he does not know? How shall one know what is righteous for one who is disciplined. Fullness of discipline is not yet received. How shall one know how to appease or call rightly or to declare not just the name, but the precepts and authority of one who has not heard? The scripture says, how shall they call upon him they have not heard? The word for call also relates to declare. Brothers and sisters, we call upon the holy name. I say we represent the holy name. After any set of ideals not true to Yah, we have totally completely disrespected. There are those who have taken what they think is the name of the Most High, to call together all those who are also in some sort of ways deceived, to think they know the holy name, to bring them all together, one another, and what is mass illusion. Think about it. There are those who believe just because they call upon the name, they are delivered. Think about it. A lot of people call a lot of different names. Heard names like Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahuwah. Is everyone who calls, say, for instance, on the name Jehovah, are they all one in their thinking? No contentions among them? All believing perfectly as one? What about those who call them upon the name Yahweh? What about those who call upon the name Yahuwah? Are they all perfectly agreed? Scripture says all who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. But forget the point of the scripture, Job 2:32, that says, all call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered, and it's to the remnant whom the Most High has called. I mean, the Most High has to reveal himself. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Many say they derive what they call the holy name after what was anciently called a tetragrammaton, per se. At least that's a term that has been used translating it into English. It relates to four-letter extractions. The very fact that they call it a tetragrammaton means that all the necessary consonants to derive the name are not there. But the titles that men have called upon primarily used some form of what people have called Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh tetragrammaton. But it's already said that the four-letter extraction is not complete. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters? It means that men oftentimes have not been found worthy to know the actual name. And if it were declared, because it's not part of what is declared by status quo tradition, our brothers and sisters, many wouldn't believe it if they did hear it. Especially if they understood the principle that the Most High is not God in the imaginations. It's he, my brothers and sisters, who declares what man must discern be found true unto him. What do I mean by that? In the instance, for instance, of the parents of Samson, it is that they asked an angel who came to them to give them instructions with regard to the child that was born. They asked him, what is his name? And the angel responded, how is it that you ask my name that in that it is secret? Some texts say secret. Some say wonderful. Some say incomprehensible. Some texts translate what is down there. It is a name that you cannot understand. Meaning that if man is comprehending that name, to be truthful, man must first learn the principles contained therein And they are principles, brothers and sisters, not discerned fully by the carnal mind. It's time we understand the reality of why the scriptures say that him who is called faithful and true has a name written upon him that no man knows but he himself. We need to understand what the scriptures tell us about Revelation 22:17. It talks about that new name, which no man knows, but he who receives it. I need to understand why in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, it talks about those who redeemed, they will receive his new name. How about a name that they did not know? Those will be true to him, knowing again he's the great I am that I am, who he is, not according to men's imagination, who would humble themselves to receive the whole truth of his words, his gospel, the mitzvah that is the mutual word, the pure perfect word that does not change, that declares in fact what is the covenant, without which, the brethren says, men offend one another. And also offend Yah, whether they realize they do so or not. Malachi keeps on talking about such words as, you know, the Most High, well, through Malachi spoke about how men have profaned the holy name, defiled the holy name. First thing everybody asks, well, how have we done this? How have we defiled our name? How have we spoken grievously against thee? How have we wearied thee? Or let's just say, polluted and insulted the sanctity and the majesty of the holy name. It means, my brothers and sisters, that many do this all the time because they don't know him and they refuse to understand fully his righteousness. Men in a lack of conscience offend continually. The only way, my brothers and sisters, man discerns how not to offend the Most High, how not to make an idol of the holy name, seeking to take that name and declare partial, imperfect, polluted, controlling bodies of knowledge incomplete, establishing obstacles and snares. Only way man knows how to use that name in such a way or come to the knowledge of that name, the knowledge of its principles, whereby he can set men free, is by the gift of the Most High. Faith comes by hearing a word from Yah. In other words, the capacity to see beyond all the contradictions of man's misrepresentations comes as a gift from the Most High. It's not after the conversation of men. It's not after those, my brothers and sisters, who unjustly suppress the truth. It's not after those, my brothers and sisters, who are, where the wrath of Yah remains upon because of their disobedience, their refusal to hear, unwillingness to hear. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, some have not heard because they have not proven that if they, even in just in regular things, they have not proven that if they heard a word, that they would be true to it. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, very blessed are the elect souls whom the Most High, by his mercy, calls forth to discipline. They learn how to please rather than to offend him. My brothers and sisters, blessed are they who by the mercy of Yah will be diligent, unwavering, to learn how to please Yah and not to offend. It's time we understand what the Most High told me. And man has to learn, yes, my brothers and sisters, he has to learn how not to offend Yah. He has to learn, my brothers and sisters, respect. Did you hear me? Man's going to have to learn. In a world that has had no absolute sense of reference point to know how to respect the Most High, man is going to have to learn how to revere, respect Yah again. The only way that can be, think about it, the word reverence and reference, as in reference point, are one and the same. And man, having accepted all manner of diverse supposed reference points, has not known how to respect Yah truly as he is. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, will come to understand this? Why the prophecies say, the Spirit of Yah is upon me, to preach good tidings unto the meek. There are those who are prideful in their mass deception, lack of understanding, every partiality, every pollution, every lie, every half-truth that men use whereby they have drawn hasty conclusions, errant conclusions. All of these, my brothers and sisters, are obstacles against man. These deceptions are obstacles against man perceiving truly indeed what is the way of truth. Obstacles against man discerning or being able to grow unto the greater truth. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will be humble enough to understand this. For no man discerns how not to err before Yah, but those who have, through the blessing and the mercy of Yah, a direct contact with Him. Faith, again, comes by hearing. Discernment beyond the varied stasis of men comes by hearing. Stagnance, nations of men, comes by hearing, and hearing a word from Yah Himself. Not all have heard, the scripture says, the preaching of the gospel, the way of the holy kingdom. Think about it. The gospel is a word the Messiah sent forth to the nations. He said those who would revere His name. He said they must teach a fullness of His word. To go forth and teach all nations everything He declared. What makes people think the Most High will sanction as a covenant unto Himself whatever will not respect the fullness of His declaration? Do you sign yourself to a covenant, to a contract, and then everybody says they can pick and choose what they will or will not uphold as upon it? It's time we discern, my brothers and sisters, far better. There must be stability. There must be constancy. There must be consistency among those who will call upon the holy name. Or else, my brothers and sisters, we don't have an agreement. We don't have an agreement. We don't have a covenant. It's time we discern far better than this inconsistency. As the Most High told me, you know what's said and not know why it's said is to miss the point. He said to me that if I could believe, if anyone can believe, that the inconsistencies and contradictions we see in this world are the result of the work of His Spirit. He said, whoever believes such a thing, my brothers and sisters, is easily gullible. Not only gullible, my brothers and sisters, but easily made a fool. It's time we understand that the Most High is not going to establish His kingdom upon such instability, because there's such instability whereby men have not been willing to respect that Yah is one. That so many of my brothers and sisters have fallen after the authority of others. That's what got men beguiled and therefore kicked out of the garden. Garden paradise, my brothers and sisters. Man believed that another standard, somebody else's ideals, could still be found worthy under the one Most High. Blessed are they who will discern better than this. I said, blessed are they who will discern better than this. For Yah is eternally one. Meaning He will not be destabilized after the misconceits of another. Blessed are they who will have respect enough for Him and faith enough in Him to realize this is what I've just told you. Is a very, very blessed thing to be oriented to know. Because it is in such knowledge as this that man is made wise to be continually diligent. For irreverence, as if the Most High will not judge. Some people say he would not judge according to righteous judgments. Indiligence, such as, you know, such disrespect, such infirmity as this, my brothers and sisters, has left many count themselves wise, being easily duped, even unto their and the their damnation and the damnation of so many others. Blessed are they who will understand better. For theirs, brothers and sisters, is the kingdom of Yah. A lot to talk about tonight. I'm looking at the multitude of my notes. If I get an opportunity tonight, I'm going to try to go through a bit of Malachi, particularly maybe 2:16 to what, 3 and 9. I'd like to get a chance to go through a bit of that tonight to explain something of a cap on so much else that I want to speak about tonight, because, as I said to you before, all the book of Malachi in some of the ways talks about how man has profaned, insulted the holy name, and not even discern the error of what he has done. Again, my brothers and sisters, Most High told me this is all about restoring for him respect. Because it's only in respect for Yah there might be salvation, peace. The greatest gift Yah can give is a law by which man might learn how to love, trust, and cooperate. You know, I tell you, the ancients spoke of the holy name, saying, "The Holy One, blessed be he. His name is in him. How about with him? Yah with Yah is Yah. His name is in him, and in him is his name." Word in and with, like, are the same in Hebrew. His name is in him, and in him is his name. He is not outside himself, and his name is the Torah, which means that all that is his law is sustained, my brothers and sisters, within the understanding, not only of what is said, but why it is said, and to discern the implications of all that is his word, all that is his thoughts, my brothers and sisters, in discerning and preserving that monumental understanding is the respect for the holy name that the Most High deserves. His name is holy. And even as Yah is with Yah. Even as Yah with Yah is Yah. So, my brothers and sisters, is he a constant? I would have you to consider, my brothers and sisters, Yah is not defined after the imaginations of men. He does not declare himself, but he is not. His name is important, but he is sustained himself consistent with his word. His name declares his very existence. Like I said, Yah is not defined after the imaginings of men. He's not a god of men's imaginations. And that Yah alone is Savior. Yah alone that declares what is the perfect purpose of man. It is man that must learn from Yah, not man who dictates to the Most High. It is man that must learn from the Most High how not to defile his name, as man destroy himself. I can only tell you that Yah, the very name Yah, for that matter, is a shortened version. Also another shortened version of the holy name. Not always written just simply YAH, but YAHH, two H's. But like I said, all the tetragrammatons are exactly that. They're four-letter extractions, other consonants, certainly other vowels in the midst. Should man say, looking at all the tetragrammatons, the various extractions, four-letter extractions, if he were to even have knowledge of them all, could so quickly understand the order after which it is, these things must be put, set in order, even to say what is the vocable of his name. Again, my brothers and sisters, much more important, those who be true unto the Most High, they must first discern the principle of his name. Like I said, think about it. Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations after the authority he has received from on high. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything he commands. It means, my brothers and sisters, that to honor the Most High, you don't seek part of his will, you seek all. He said, think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets. He said, your righteousness must exceed that of your contentious rulers who, in seeking to abolish or denigrate or pollute or take away from the law. So your righteousness must exceed the contentiousness as a result of this treachery. Else you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. Please understand Micaiah 5:14-24. For the children of light must show forth the light. Woe to those who, my brothers and sisters, would use the holy name to preserve doctrinal darkness. On my website, hiddengospel.com, the articles there, like what I call the Secret City Prophecies. More articles there like Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Remember the promise. Tribulation 70 to 365 AD, relating so much truth that the Bible itself declared, the prophets declared in advance that the rulers would not preach. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that without these very precious truths, no man is saved, no man is delivered from those who hide the truth. Without these truths, my brothers and sisters, every man is still yet partial and not complete, not yet ready to be confirmed in the covenant, because quite frankly, these truths, no one attains to the holy name without. All who attain to the holy name will be confirmed worthy, must acknowledge these truths. And all who did not tell you these truths, I'm telling you now, all those who did not tell you these truths, like the article, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, all those who did not tell you these truths because they taught you something different, have lied to you. If they didn't tell you the scenario as to how Messiah shall appear, what he comes to do, why he must reprove all the rulers, pastors, preachers, rabbis, elders, all for their indiligence, for their treachery. If they didn't tell you, my brothers and sisters, to have this expectation that you might know to seek him, prepare yourself to discern him who declares indeed the righteousness of Yah. If they didn't teach you these things, my brothers and sisters, about the secret city prophecies, how Messiah must appear to a world from a city that he has first reproved, and because it didn't listen, the scripture says the city will be destroyed, and how that city is destroyed is only a precursor to what the whole world is about to face in choosing not to listen. If they didn't teach that to you, my brothers and sisters, they did not preach to you the gospel. There's a reason why the scripture talks about in Revelation 6:12 about that great earthquake. It shakes the very foundation of the whole world. The kings of the earth are running for cover, saying, hide from the face of the Lamb, him who sits upon the throne. For the day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? The scripture says the wrath of Yah is upon those who are unjust and suppress the truth, who withhold the truth unrighteously. Isn't it blessed, my brothers and sisters, that we come to understand this, that faith in Yah, reverence for Yah, is the beginning of wisdom. But faith in Yah, my brothers and sisters, comes only in discerning that we must overcome, must exceed all the vast contradictions that are the varied doctrines of men. There are no 45,000 saviors across 45,000 denominations, my brothers and sisters. There's no 45,000 salvations. There's no 45,000 pure and perfect words. In fact, the multitude of differences we see come as a result of man having taught partialities and pollutions, which are not the strength of a people, with the pollution and the weakening of human conscience. It is time we understand, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is not pleased that men would pollute the strength of his name, and that so many of my brothers and sisters have claimed to be true to it after missed ideals, which my brothers and sisters, the Most High, were never, ever sanctioned. Think about it. If someone feels they can take the holy name and put upon any contract they will, or they think they can take the contract and add and take away as they will, the scriptures actually say that anyone who does this adds damnation to his soul. He takes away his eternal life. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that since the Most High says your perseverance in the holy name must bring forth the perfect work, how is it men have said that they are viable for the Most High without a law? It simply does not make sense. My brothers and sisters, the men have believed this. Scripture says the men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. And in order that men might be delivered, it says for a moment the Most High must defer his anger. Revelation, I'm talking about Isaiah 48 chapter. You need to read those first 14 verses, then read on out through the 49th, the 50th, and 51st. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 13:18 says, for a moment the Most High again must wait, defer his anger. Allow man an opportunity to partake of the doctrines of a true teacher, else no one would be delivered. Revelation 7:2 says, Messiah will come forth, said, hurt not the earth nor the sea nor the trees to the angels of wrath. Hurt not the earth nor the sea nor the trees till we seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. Many of my brothers and sisters, that only those who are humble, I say only those who are humble enough, the scripture says the spirit of Yah is upon the priest, good tidings to the meek, humble enough to seek the Most High, how not to offend him, learning how to please him. Only they, my brothers and sisters, I said only they, will be found worthy to be confirmed in the holy name. If they didn't teach you these things, my brothers and sisters, they've robbed you. They taught you another scenario and didn't teach you who it is. But the Most High said, said through whom Israel shall be confirmed, true unto Yah. Who among Israel shall be confirmed true unto Yah? They didn't teach you these doctrines by which you, his people might be made complete and all things true to him. They didn't teach you these things. They robbed you. They made you complicit with murderers and deceivers. They caused you, my brothers and sisters, to think yourself wise before the time. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who, rather than falling victim to such schemes, will know that there's so much more that they still yet need to know. I told you before, I tell you again, the Most High told me that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide and not perverse, silence, and destroy it. However, I know that no one will take heed to these things, to fully seek them with inspiration for those whom the Most High himself has touched their hearts to know that my words deserve the respect due to a word that comes from Yah himself. Like I said, whoever would short-sightedly, selfishly declare misimaginations, exalt foolish and deceptive pride, my brothers and sisters, and say that such as this is a representation of the Most High, has made an idolatrous snare of the holy name, an idolatrous snare and abuse of the holy name. And whoever will make the holy name an idol, declaring a title that men should say they should respect while they are taught false doctrine. My brothers and sisters, if they call upon the Most High doing such a thing, Scripture says in times of trouble, they'll find out, my brothers and sisters, that they'll have nothing to redeem them from trouble. Isn't it time that we discern the truth? Scripture talks about one called Shiloh at Genesis 49:10. It says, and unto him shall the nations seek, meaning all nations shall revere his word to seek beyond all other rulers. In fact, all other rulers will be found wicked. I want you to consider something. Scripture says that his name should be called great among the nations, all nations. From the rising sun to the west means there's one mitzvah, one pure, perfect word that must be revered by all. If the rulers have sanctioned a multitude of differences and contentions against the will of one, what they've compelled men to worship is the demons of Babylon, my brothers and sisters, and not the righteousness of Yah. Such hypocrisy as this is not redemption. Such hypocrisy such as this is damnation. The reason why the scriptures say Messiah must come to reprove all the leaders. Isaiah 40:27-41:4. Malachi 2:16-3:4. Zephaniah. How about the 3 and 5th verse after Messiah comes to a city and reproves it and they do not listen? He says his anger against all the nations. Isaiah 34 says the same. Revelation 19 says, out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, out of the mouth of him who is faithful and true, who has a name which no man knows but he himself, who calls the name the word of Yah. Scripture says, he will smite the nations with a rod of iron, a word of strict discipline that does not flinch or change. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that's prepared for this? Now understand what the scripture means when it says, be watchful always for the coming of the Son of Man. Be watchful always for the Son of Man coming. Does that mean watchful, my brothers and sisters, after what seems apparent to men? Well, the Most High calls men to be watchmen, to warn others. But like he told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, O Son of Man, I made you a watchman. Over the house of Israel. He said to them that, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, that he is to be a warner. He was to be a warner among the people. Meaning he was to warn the people of what they did not see. He granted the capacity to see what others did not see in order to speak what others would not speak. I have to ask the question, how many who call upon the name of the Most High are willing to speak if they were to see the exceeding truth, speak those premises that, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, most all the world has done everything it could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy, to constantly reject. Because they know, my brothers and sisters, they are called with a duty unto far beyond complacency of men. How many, my brothers and sisters, would be true to that which Yah has said, never be denied, lest men fall short to the cages and snares created after their own misimaginations and abuses. I know it's time, my brothers and sisters, we see with clarity why the scripture says the Most High to reprove all the rulers. Isaiah 44:20-45:6. He says he has to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. 1 Corinthians 2:3-4. All talk about Messiah coming and having to prove the wisdom of those that people are called wise. That he might declare one shepherd and a firm foundation upon which a holy kingdom can be established. The scriptures that relate this in 45:20-45:6 to really highlight way out to 46:13 of Isaiah are directly complicit with the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 3:18-4:5. The apostle Shaul said, if any man consider himself wise, how about in this confused world, divided world? Let him consider himself a fool, deceived. Let him become wise. The apostle himself said, I know nothing which I am guilty of myself. He said, but I might not be right in this. He says, the judge of the Most High, even the coming of Messiah. He said, therefore, let no man consider himself so wise or complete before the time. The Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things the men have not considered. He said, and man coming to the knowledge of that which he lack the conscience to perceive. Then shall men ought to praise Yah, because believe me, there are many who have loved the flattering words of others. And in loving flattering words, rather than the fullness of a word, the brothers and sisters, men have been trapped to follow after the children of darkness, never to know, indeed, what is true to all that should be known, to the height, depth, and breadth with all the saints, what should be the common consciousness of all those who the Most High would consecrate fully unto himself. There's a truth without which all men, my brothers and sisters, are liars, all robbers, all murderers. And no man is made whole before Yah without these words, without these truths. Your rulers who do not tell you these things, very simply because they taught otherwise, again, they have lied to you, they've robbed you. They seduced you after deception, causing me to feel comfort inside the shallow and vain minds kept of their weakened, blinded imaginings. They deceived you not to seek the greater perception of the truth. One to whoever sets woe then unto whoever sets up obstacles against the raising of human conscience. Yah is warned that men should not take his name in vain. They should not swear by his name after a multitude of worldly contradictions. The only way man sees beyond those contradictions, he must have a gift from Yah. He must know that he must constantly seek Yah. Remain constantly conscious, even of all things, concerning all things the Most High has spoken. Anything less is sin. Any allegiance to anything less is divisive among his people, not a covenant, not cooperation, not love and trust in the truth. My brothers and sisters, all such as this is an offense. Salvation for men is not after conceits of man. It's by the direct guidance of Yah. Shall men do so? Or let's just say make an idol of the holy name, abusing his name to call men unto lesser standards, and think they'd be favored in doing that which is better, in which Yah is not pleased? The holy name is one of great, awesome magnificence and concentricity. Therefore, men, first having a call from him, must learn from the Most High how not to lie against him. Learn from him how not to misrepresent him. Learn, my brothers and sisters, how to respect him. No one should, after presumptuous supposition, ensnare the minds of the people by making an idol after what they presume to be, I said only presume to be the holy name. One called into the glory of the holy name in oath is called to seek Yah for the pure, perfect fullness of all that which is implied by Yah himself. All, even unto all that Yah has revealed. Scripture says the secret things belong unto Yah, but those things which he has revealed belong as an obligation unto us who are called by his name, even unto our children, henceforth and even forever. How shall Israel become that people, true to the fullness of that word, that this brought a massive remembrance? Scripture says Messiah will judge all mankind for the restitution of all things, according to all that the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since world began. Whoever will seek judge to judge otherwise. Stagnating others after their own limited awareness, seeking to ensnare others in the shallow mindscapes of a less than fully enlightened mind, is counted guilty who would do so. Like I said, an angel was asked by the parents, for instance, of Samson, what is your name? And the answer was that, why did you ask my name, seeing that you cannot understand it? How could you uphold the name of brothers and sisters if the Most High himself has not revealed his principles? Believe me, ancient Hebrew names, Most High does not call himself by that which he is not. Therefore, those who call upon his name, not knowing his precepts, have lied against his name. It's time we understand, brothers and sisters. Even Hebrews 1 and 4 says that Messiah is given a more excellent name than all others, would be called messengers, angels. Isn't it time we understand that there are high implications to the, in all the attributes of what the Most High declared is himself? Note this, many, this is this point, my brothers and sisters. Many call upon a name, and they, that they believe to be called holy. Like I said, do all who call upon a name, a particular name, do they all agree? Since this is not so, it's evident that more than carnal minds required, so as not to lie, so as not to offend, how to bring forth perfect agreement unto the Most High, beyond all misimaginations. Like I said, it's written, all who call upon the name of the Most High should be saved. And most didn't ignore the implication of the verse that says, and in Jerusalem, as citizens of the city of peace, shall be deliverance unto a remnant whom Yah has called. How about Yah has revealed himself? Yah has called by name for his purpose. Some people be true to divine purpose who have not discerned, in fact, with consistency, what is eternal. This righteous comprehension of which I speak, my brothers and sisters, like I said, is not not discerned after mere carnal mind. Each soul is under the, let's just say, at the mercy of the Most High. Like I said, to learn how to please him and how not to offend. And he did not say that those who refused to hear would learn. Just come, let us reason together. Oh, I'm talking about seeking the Most High to the fullness of his declaration. Come, let us reason together. And though our sins be like scarlet, in other words, there be a multitude of contentions among us under so much warfare and bloodshed. He said we should be made white like wool. He said, but if man rebels against what is necessary to bring forth this perfect healing, the scripture says, those, my brothers and sisters, who would not hear, because they would not hear, he would deliver to the sword. For the mouth of the Most High has spoken. And when we cut off from the inheritance of Israel, all who will be called the people of the Most High, the scripture says, must anticipate the day when he says his people shall speak no lies, do no iniquity. They shall speak only and declare only what is justice. They have none to destabilize. In other words, my brothers and sisters, it won't be a case of the Most High bringing forth a stable people that they be destabilized after the misconceit of another. That's what got folks kicked out of the garden. Long ago, men began to trust in the word of another, not true to all the Most High himself has declared. I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, all the prophecies concerning Messiah speaks about how in the last days he comes to reveal again all righteousness. How do the men, reading those scriptures, says he must come to reveal again all righteousness and call themselves righteous without that revelation? Prophecy relates that in that day all the rulers and pastors of this earth, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, whatever they call themselves, presidents, kings, shall all be rebuked for having been treacherous, far from faith. I'll let you say far from the confusions of man. In fact, in many ways been complicit with the confusions of man and even sought, my brothers and sisters, to uphold the compromised contradictions of man. For this unfaithfulness and this indiligence, scripture says the whole world must be reproved. But Yah must bring forth a people that are true and faithful unto him and him alone. This is the preciously liberating truth the rulers dare not tell. Your sense of righteousness in discerning the law and the prophets and their fullness, all the prophets have said, as a law, the mutual expectation for his people, your consummate understanding of these things must exceed that of all your contentious leaders who have hidden the truth from you, or have refused to acknowledge certain absolutes. The scriptures have declared, that the prophets declared, you must exceed their indulgence, their treachery, their hypocrisy, their partialities, and their compromise. The scripture said, else, if you fall victim to such as these, says you shall in no case, I said, not in any case, shall you enter the kingdom of Yah. In other words, my brothers and sisters, you'll find that you had nothing with which to claim that you were worthy of being preserved. My brothers and sisters, those who call upon the holy name must prove that they would keep, preserve, maintain, defend, guard, remember forever, and henceforth never ever again forget what is the covenant of the Most High. For none of the hasty conclusions, partial perceptions of the rulers, refusing to give full consent to all the Most High has spoken, refusing to understand fully what the Most High declared, None of these standards are viable. But some people I can hear right now say, well, we haven't grown to that yet, my brothers and sisters. The Most High didn't create man stupid. Man was taught to be to confirm all these things when he was first given the covenant. We were told never to fall away. Well, man now after the ways of Gentiles and their resistance, after polytheists have fallen away and sit back and say that we have simply not grown back to the truth. Well, guess what? The scripture said the anticipation should be for the coming of the righteous one, even Messiah himself, that you might be restored. Now, brothers and sisters, if all knew, then no one is acceptable before Yah after the imperfections of man. Men would know to seek beyond the rulers. But the rulers didn't want you to know that, so they might snare you and even destroy you in your lack of knowledge. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to understand. Think about it. Messiah will come with a name. All glorify the name of the One Most High. Should any man think that he shall misrepresent that authority, using that name to accomplish his own self-righteous end, and expect that he will not be left subject to that process of elimination that will finally, at last, declare that Yah is one? Think about it. Anyone who misrepresents the holy name, or even will continue to petition in defilement against the truth the Messiah shall bring. Scripture says, whoever will walk against or not be true to that light, in Isaiah 60:12. Whoever would defy service after that truth, Scripture says, that nation, that people shall perish. Most High wants no more distraction, my brothers and sisters. And if in that day he wants no distraction, it's obvious he does not, he never has desired distraction against the knowledge of his truth. He said you should not take his name in vain. You should not intermingle his name or associate his name with any kind of man's ideal. You should not render useless the authority of the holy name, and that men have taken the holy name and have placed what they thought, what men thought was the holy name, upon so many of their own devices. But will defile the authority of that name, the scripture says, shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50:10-11 says, whoever among you who would revere, who would serve the Most High, would revere the Most High, let him, the scripture says, let him trust the name of his servant, even he who is called by the name of the Most High, and be saved by his Elohim, the conscience of him whom he serves. 50:10-11 goes on. It says to men, if they continue to walk after the sparks, how about the unrighteousness that they have kindled? And men have called by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor unrighteousness. He said, if men continue to do this, the scripture says, they shall lie down in sorrow. Means, my brothers and sisters, whoever calls upon the holy name must seek inspiration from the Most High so as not to offend and to learn how to be pleasing. Indeed, without question, the Spirit of Yah, Messiah, comes forth to say, is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek. Most High told me directly that my words, the words he's given me, are very precious, but he has told me that they are only for the most humblest of souls. My brothers and sisters, they who are wise among men will humble themselves to receive that precious word. The scripture says, Isaiah 42:16, he will lead his people by a way that they have not known. Those who expect Messiah, one who does not judge after what his eyes see nor what his ears hear, being disciplined by the Most High, those who expect him to seek after a buried worldly status quo, my brothers and sisters, will never know him in time. Most High told me directly that to believe that the multitude of contradictions we see in this world are work of his spirit. He said to believe such a thing is not to be kind of worthy ever to be a disciple under him. How can someone be a disciple taught by the Most High when everybody else's word in contradiction against what the Most High has said. If they believe that all these differences are still true under Yah. Yah is one. If man does not seek the Most High to discern how to see beyond these massive contradictions. Now, I want you to think about it. Men are oftentimes deceived because they have lacked that power, lacked that discretion. If man does not seek the Most High to be assured that they are held steadfast upon the path, how do men know, my brothers and sisters, so quickly that they have not been led astray? Like I said, Messiah said, if you love me, you would have kept my commandments. If you love me, you guard the sanctity of my name, my authority. Even the testimony, he said, must go forth to all nations, teaching all nations everything he declared, purging men of all their allegiances to every fallen standard, that there might be an end to this age, this divisive age, the time we call the times of the Gentiles. What's the time of the Gentiles? Think about it. Most times when the scriptures talk about nations, not necessarily just talking about, you know, nations like you say, England, France, Germany, whatever, U.S. It's talking about all the varied allegiances of man and their differences. The end of the time of the Gentiles comes in the end of a day of confusion, where no man knows to no longer compromise themselves after a lesser standard. They know to be diligent to seek the Most High, to see how all things he has said work together. Like I said, if the Most High calls someone, makes them a watchman, gives them a capacity to perceive with greater height, depth, and breadth, that he may discern how to warn others. And believe me, the Most High is not pleased that so many call upon his name and not seek that depth of understanding. He is not pleased that so many would be called unto this purpose and so few are faithful. My brothers and sisters, did you not understand according to the scriptures that the one whom Most High calls to declare the exceeding word, even the truth that most not comprehend, he said, if he does not speak fully according to what the Most High declares, hey, the sins of all that he should have worn are upon his head. How many of my brothers and sisters would uphold the fullness of the truth if they were granted to see the fullness of the truth and admit so many times that he would have to bear the burden of one who's called a rebuker of the whole earth? You say Messiah is called Wonderful Counselor for a reason. It means that he is one whose counsel is not of this earth. One whose counsel, my brothers and sisters, comes by the inspiration of the Most High. He says he will speak peace to the nation. He will speak of completion the world has not had. So often men are contentious because they uphold a multitude of standards that after the varied differences and the partialities of their personal status quos. System of this earth that never will consider all things. Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know, but what men think they know, not giving consideration to all that he has declared, is not wisdom. How about not peace, not a covenant at all? Blessed are they who will understand this. So I ask the question. Many would want to have what called themselves prophets and apostles. But the book of Ephesians says it in this wise. It says, I'll pull it up right quickly for you. In Ephesians, it tells you what's the common denominator of one who would be called a prophet or an apostle. It says, He that descended or came into the earth, the same also that ascended far above all the heavens. How about all the rulers of the earth, that he might fulfill all things? How about all the far above all the contentious rulers of the earth, that he might fulfill all things the Most High declared? He is not of this earth, he is from above, not of the contentions of this world. The scripture says he spoke directly, saying, whoever would not seek him and believe that he is the one who is above all the contentions of this earth. He said men would die in their sins. How about their allegiances to those who hide the truth? The allegiances to those who declare partial standards to ensnare and captivate human souls, even using the holy name. Like I said, outside its purpose. And he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. It says for the perfecting, the word perfect means complete, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Oh, it means to meet, it's to firm, make them firm in their structure, in their understanding, something confirmed, and that all things concerning are made steadfast. Edifying in the body, how about those who are the body of the Kurdee, the righteous one? Those who are the body of the righteous one, the Kurdee, seek all that is righteousness. That's what righteousness means. You have a heart and oath to seek all truth. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Oh, how about all the world's contradictions? Beyond all the world contradictions, into unity in the faith. How about beyond all those who divide after a multitude of partialities and pollutions? Coming all to the knowledge, how about the pure, perfect knowledge of the Son of Yah? Unto a perfect man, a perfect people, unto the measure, the fullness of the measure and stature of the fullness of the righteous one, even the Kurdee. My brothers and sisters, many put upon themselves these titles. How many of them, my brothers and sisters, would be willing to teach fully such magnificent prophecies as those I speak of on my website, hiddengospel.com? Articles like The Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Articles like the one, Tribulation, 70 to 365 AD. All these articles on Hidden Gospel, the article on my website, hiddengospel.com, about concerning things the prophecy said in advance, the leaders will not speak. Why have they not taught you the gospel of Shiloh? The fullness of the word declared concerning the one who must come, according to Genesis 49 and 10, to liberate his people from all those who have spoken partiality. Isaiah 11, 1 through 12, speaks again of him. It says it is peace. The peace because he declared the standard beyond all the lawless, the wicked, those who keep iniquity a mystery, who hide the truth from you, who hide the righteousness of Yah from you, who teach you injustice, unrighteousness, and teach you to call such things as these a licensed gift from the Most High. So we said they would pervert the grace of the Most High, pervert the knowledge of him, the grace of the Most High that he teaches his people how to appease him and not to offend. Grace of Yah is that he reveals the knowledge of him. He said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Yah. My brothers and sisters, the Most High, all he loves, he shows favor. He disciplines. How is his men have thought otherwise and said that they are favored without a law? Brothers and sisters, what did the pagans call a law? But the international rule of the Gentiles was to preserve all the differences of all their diverse pantheon of pagan gods, pagan standards, that the people had come to compromise hypocritically to uphold. What's the difference between that and men upholding a multitude of different denominations across the world, or any of the pollutions after the intrusion of the principalities and powers that are now amidst the doctrine? You must discern what is the acceptable will of Yah, my brothers and sisters. You must discern the difference between that which men have declared and that which Yah declared. Else you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah, because you've still been duped by those who would not tell you the fullness of truth. Messiah comes for that express purpose. The scripture says, blessed they who wait for him. Those who know these things know to seek Yah constantly. Ask him if they might discern whatever might be missing or whatever they might be lacking in their faith, whatever they might be lacking in their understanding. And every soul, because every soul, my brothers and sisters, is completely at the mercy of the Most High, because there's so much truth that a man does not understand unless the Most High himself reveal it. Like I said, by no means any man give honor and praise to the Most High after the presumptuous imaginings of his own heart, his own feeble heart. I can only tell you that one time the Most High showed me Well, I can put it to you this way. Wish I had time to tell you, because I only got a couple minutes. He once, in a dream, told me to imagine all the best that I could imagine as beautiful. And in so doing, in a dream, the best I could ever imagine began to fill the earth. But my brothers and sisters, for all that I can imagine and call considered beautiful in my mind, Most High basically told me to step aside. Let Daddy show you how to do it. So I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, no man's limited vision is going to impede the fullness of what the Most High declared. And there's some things the Scripture says no man knows but the Father himself. So blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will seek Yah. That when he does declare what he requires of men, they will not respond adversely. Light does not deny light. Truth does not deny truth. Blessed are those who have a firm
90 seconds.
So when they hear the truth, they know to follow. My name is Edom Yama, brothers and sisters. Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Most High told me that I have things to tell you that are very, very, very important. He caused prophets to speak what others would not. He told me I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of the human fall to hide and not pervert, silence, and destroy. Well, my brothers and sisters, I would dare to tell you that without 60
these truths, seconds.
No man is made whole. Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that hearing the truth will adopt that truth, made it part of their being, let it saturate their souls, that they might discern the word of the prophet apostle, who's called Jacob. I didn't say James. He said, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this is Edom Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, and praise always, thanking him always for every year that he brings near.
10
Hallelujah!
Seconds.
And I thank you all again for listening. I pray the Most High will open the minds and hearts to receive what must be received.